الكتاب رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتلاء ولا لأزلية الانقضاء وانحسرة الأوصاف عن كنف معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء ولا أرض أرضا. فالصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العفراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
لا سيما على تقي الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الارض والسماء ولولا لصاحت الارض باهلها. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم:
when he pays off his Islamic taxes, The prayers are then coupled with your Islamic texts and then presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go to the importance of prayers, which is our segment number one of this discussion. This is the first slide about the name of Salat. We say, in Arabic we read it as Salat, but you stop at the word, the last Ta, which we say Ta'ul Marbuta, if you're familiar with the Ilm al-Tajweed. We call this small rounded ta as a ta'ul marbuta. It's not recited when you stop there. So we read it like a ha. So we, if you stop at the word, we read it as salah. If you stop at the word. And the literal meaning of the word is like a road, it's dua. So salat means dua. When we say we are saying our salat, that means literally it means dua. And technically, of course, it's not just the dua, salat is a whole concept in Islam of doing certain azkar, certain words of remembrance of Allah, and reciting certain surahs of the Holy Quran, doing certain actions like ruku and sujood, you know, prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing down before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a specific way prescribed from the unseen world by the Holy Prophet for our eternal guidance. So doing certain actions, reciting certain words of remembrance of God, certain surahs in a specific format for the sake of getting close to Allah with the niyyat and intention of qurbatan ila Allah in order to obey the divine commands and do as prescribed. That's what is in the technical meaning what Salat stands for. So, and here is a very small description of the profile of prayers. As we're talking about prayers, let's have. I don't know how much can everybody look at the slide and read it.
Yeah.
If you can't, you can come closer because I don't want anybody to miss the text. So, yeah. Those of you who cannot read it, please get closer because I don't think we can make it bigger than this. So this is a summarized profile of Salat. It was a very highly confidential thing and top secret information. Top secret in the sense that there was nobody else sharing with the Holy Prophet. It was him only with Allah. What higher can you expect a thing to become secret when there is no one else to share other than the Holy Prophet? So, you know, because when the Prophet went to the Mi'raj and Ascension and he reached under the arsh of Allah, there was none but him. There wasn't any messenger, any angel accompanying him on those highest levels. So the first is the purpose of the prayers. The purpose and hikmat and wisdom behind the prayers is it provides us a boosting flight of mi'raj and ascension if we are a mu'min. If we are not a mu'min, then basically nothing is going to happen. Actually, it's going to be counterproductive. Because the more a non-mu'min says the contents of the prayers in the presence of Allah, the more it brings him further down in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahauddini, one of our great ulama, has mentioned, you know, that basically if we don't have prayers which is classified in the eyes of Allah to be considered as prayers, And we are not saying the truth in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are talking to Him and addressing Him directly. And we are in His presence, you know. And we say to Him that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You only we worship and you only we seek help from. So if we are not here to mean what we are saying, then we are lying in the presence of Allah officially. Just like if you lie in the presence of a judge in the court under oath, every single word you say, you are held accountable for that. It's unlike if you lie on the street, because that's not under oath. Although when it comes to Allah, it's all the same, because He is all-hearing and all-knowing everywhere. But specifically, when you are in the prayers and you are lying, God forbid, in front of Allah, that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, although we don't worship Him at all the times, we have our desires slipping in. So basically, in that case, the prayers is not at all an essential, but actually, it is counterproductive for the person, because it's bringing him further down. It's lowering his level in the eyes of Allah. And this kind of prayers adds to his destruction of the soul more than what he could imagine. So it provides a boost for a mu'min to reach the highest levels of mi'raj and ascension possible for an ordinary mu'min, if he is a mu'min. So when you are a mu'min, you're not going to tell a lie. That's understood in the concept. And it takes you to the highest space, which is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not a physical body. So we are talking about the physical closeness. We are talking about the spiritual closeness with Allah. The status of the prayers is that it's a pillar of the entire religion. So whole religion is resting on its correctness, not on the body of the prayers. The body of the prayers of a 3-year or 4-year-old can also perform. Can we imagine the 4-year-old boy performing the body of the prayers and he can reach the miraj without its essence? So we are talking about the body of the prayers. Let's be very clear. We are talking about the essence of the prayers. If the prayers, that means the skeleton, the body, the apparent actions that we perform, the apparent actions in the skeleton and body of the prayers is coupled with its essence, that kind of prayers is the pillar of the whole religion. Everything else will be corrected if you have your essence of the prayers protected. And if you don't have the essence of the prayers protected, but you're just focusing on the skeleton of the prayers, then forget about anything you may do good in your life, because that's the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is accepted as long as you did not correct the essence of your prayers. So that's the pillar, that's the meaning of the pillar. That means everything is resting on it, the survival of your being. Just like the survival of the construction to remain in its correct form and shape rests on the pillars of the building, the survival of your religion in its correctness and acceptability in the eyes of Allah is resting whether or not your prayers is accepted and is it correct with the essence, or it's just the skeleton in the body, just like a 3-year-old boy or girl does it. Year of birth in the current form. I wrote the word current form because every prophet used to pray. It's not just our holy prophet who talked about the prayers. Every prophet used to pray. Prayers is one of the common teachings which is found in the teachings of every prophet and every messenger. Look at the statement of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam when he was in the cradle. Awsani bi salati wa zakati ma dumtu hayya. Allah, in other words, Allah advised to wasiyyat and advised to do the prayers and give the zakat for the zakat as long as I'm alive. So the Prophet said he's in the cradle and he's talking like this, that he's commanded by Allah to do the prayers. So So prayers is part of the teachings of all the prophets. But there were a little bit differences in the format of prayers or the rak'ats of the prayers. Of course, depending on the variations of the Sharia for exactly the same reasons why the Sharia was different. The Sharia and the code of law for every messenger who had a Sharia, we have five of those messengers who were Sahib al-Sharia. They had their own Sharia given by Allah, and Sahib al-Kitab, they have their own book awarded by Allah. So because of the same reasons why the messengers were given different Sharias and different books, for the same reasons the prayer is also part of the Sharia and the code of law. So there were a little bit variations, but the essence, the mainstream ruling of prayers was common on all the prophets. The prayers that we pray today, taught by the greatest among the messengers and the seal of the prophets of our Khatam al-Mursaleen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This prayer was in this current form. It was born in the second Hijra, because that was the time when Prophet went on Mi'raj among the approximately 120 times when he was taken to Mi'raj and ascension by Allah. It's not just once that he went on Mi'raj. Some people may have heard that it's just once Prophet went on Mi'raj. That's not once. It's 120, minimum 120 times that he went to Mi'raj. So on that time in second Hijra when he went, and that year when he reached the Arsh of Allah, on that occasion he was commanded to pray first of his prayers in this current form, the way we pray today. We're talking about in the current form. So Prophet even used to pray before going to Mi'raj. He used to pray in the cave of Hira also. He used to pray, you know, in Makkah before going to Mi'raj. We are talking about in the current form. Remember the word that I wrote. In the current form, this exact format of prayers was born in the second of Hijra. So, and the place of birth is of course under the Arsh of Allah. That's where he prayed his first prayers. And the wudu for the first prayers for that salat was performed from the fountain of Sa'd. We have several fountains in the paradise, and this fountain of Sa'd is the fountain that bursts from the pillar of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amri Hafidhahullah, whosoever has access to this fountain is the one who deserves to have Mi'raj. So Prophet of course had the access to that fountain. He did his wudu from the water of the fountain of Sa'd bursting out from the pillar of the Arsh, and after doing the wudu from that fountain of Sa'd, we have a surah in the Holy Quran in the name of Surah Sa'd, if you remember. So Sa'd is the name of the fountain which flows from the pillar of the Arsh. He did his wudu and he basically was receiving the commands from Allah, and because of those commands he was doing how he was commanded, and he prayed his first prayers under the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was that first prayer that he prayed? The first prayer, first salat that he prayed precisely was Salatul Dhuhr, and this is the salat. This Salatul Dhuhr is the one that we call as Salatul Wusta. What the Holy Quran has said in that Hafidhu ala Salawati wa Salatul Wusta. Protect the prayers and the middle prayers. The Quran has specifically singled out the middle prayers among the rest. And we have abundant hadith from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam, where it clarifies that the middle prayers meant in the verse of Holy Quran was Salatul Wusta is the Dhuhr prayers. And that was the first prayers prayed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have any questions, you can always write it down. We can address those questions in the Q&A section. This is just a walk around of the whole discussion. We are talking about the importance of the prayers and importance in the eyes of Quran and importance in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt and their hadith. And so when we say Ahlul Bayt, it doesn't mean the third Imams only, it includes the Holy Prophet also, because Ahlul Bayt is a word that we use for, it means actually the full form, it's an abbreviation, let me put it like that. The word Ahlul Bayt is an abbreviation in Arabic. The full form of the word Ahlul Bayt is Ahlul Baytin Nubuwwah, those who belong to the household of the Prophethood. So those who belong to the household of the Prophethood, Prophet himself is first of all part of that house. So the Prophet is included in Ahlul Bayt. So in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt includes the Holy Prophet plus the rest of the 13 Masumeen alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we'll discuss the kinds of salat. We have 6 kinds in Islam in total. That's the total number. We are talking about the wajib prayers only here, or only the wajib prayers. And the mustahab are abundant. You know, whole long list of mustahab prayers, which of course we cannot talk about the whole list of mustahab prayers, but we are talking about the wajib prayers only. And then number 4 is the shara'it of sihhat as-salat. That means the conditions which are required to be met if you want your prayers to be done in the correct form according to the rules and parameters of the sharia. You have to follow certain conditions. And those conditions which make sure your prayers is called sahih and sahiha and correct, those shara'it are classified as shara'it as-sihha or shara'it sihhat as-salat. Both words are okay. We have a different set of shara'it that are coming very soon, so that's why it's important to know the difference between this and the other ones. So these are those conditions that you need to meet if you want your prayers to be correct. So once your prayers are correct, then it is called that you did it in the right way. Now, if you don't fulfill any of these conditions, it means that your prayers is batil and void, and you've got to repeat it again. So these conditions are supposed to be met. Otherwise, your prayers have to be repeated. So that's why we call them conditions for the correctness of the prayers. So if you don't fulfill, the prayer never happened. You have to do it again. Start all over. Number 5 is the types of wajibat we have in the prayers. Even inside the prayers itself, we have different types of wajibat. So you need to first learn how many types of wajibat we actually have in Islam. As a general concept, first you have to learn in Islam how many types of wajibat do we have, and then we will come, of course we will discuss that what are those different types of wajibat which are found in the prayers itself, and how the different classifications of wajib is relevant to our discussion of the prayers, and which wajib of prayers belongs to which classification of the wajibat in the usul al-fiqh, in the law of Islamic jurisprudence. And then we have the wajibat, that means the compulsory parts of the prayers, which are 11. There are 11 total compulsory parts of the prayers that you have to fulfill and perform in the correct way by fulfilling those conditions. By fulfilling the conditions of correctness, you have to perform 11 things. in the prayers, because these are the compulsory components. There are some non-compulsory components which we call the mustahabbat and recommended parts of the prayers. But those are not compulsory. The more you add the non-compulsory recommended components, you are increasing the sawab and reward and closeness to Allah, further closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you don't add any recommended component into your prayer, any mustahab into your prayers is not batil, it's correct, because you did the compulsory part. So, yeah, we also call it, you have a whiteboard.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The recommended things in Islam, we call them mustahab, recommended something. The word mustahab literally means something which is lawful. Every single mustahab and recommended thing of the Sharia without exception. Every single mustahab thing without exception. So every mustahab thing is also sunnah and practice of the Holy Prophet, because he did it. So you can call every mustahab as the practice of Rasulullah. That why it is called as mustahab. So we have the compulsory parts, which are 11, and then number 7 is the shara'itul qabul, which means those are the conditions which you need to meet if you want your prayers to be accepted by Allah. We just mentioned another set of conditions, which are shara'it sahht as-salat, conditions for the correctness. Now you fulfill those 14 conditions of correctness, your prayers now, in terms of quote-unquote Islamic rules of Islamic jurisprudence, your prayers is now classified to be correct. You don't have to repeat it. Now, you're not through yet, you're not there yet. Your prayer is now ready, is now performed on earth, but this prayer is performed according to the rules of the Sharia. Now, whether this prayer is ready to be taken to the arsh of Allah or not is the second question. These conditions are not empowering your prayers to be taken to the arsh of Allah. Every action that we perform needs to be taken up to the arsh and throne of Allah by the angels. These conditions cannot make sure your prayers will be taken to the arsh of Allah and presented before Him. Unless and until you fulfill another set of conditions, which we call as shara'itul qabool, conditions of acceptability of the prayers. And once you combine the conditions of correctness along with the conditions of acceptability, that's how you make sure your prayers is now eligible to be taken and presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in the presentable form. This is the kind of prayers which Allah accepts in His presence. If we don't fulfill these conditions, this prayer does not leave the planet Earth. It stays where you did. So, certainly we want our prayers to be accepted by Allah. Islam is asking us to be more focused on acceptability of our amal as compared to our focus on piling up more and more and more of the ibadat and worships without realizing that our worships are accepted or not accepted. So this is not the behavior of a mu'min to just keep on piling up worships and doing different kinds of worships in an ignorant way or ignorance-based worships without the understanding already provided, already told by the Holy Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, how our amal and different actions are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without paying importance to this this aspect of the worships. You just keep on piling up your worships. This is something that is not going to lead you anywhere. So basically, this kind of person is wasting his time doing the ibadah without focusing on the fact whether it is accepted or not accepted. You just keep on piling up.
So there are some people who are doing, there are not less number of people who are still available who do it like this, you know, keep on piling up their worships in a silly way without focusing on the shara'il qabool. So basically, when you look at the shara'il qabool, after you go through this screening test, then your prayers is classified as prayers in the eyes of Allah. Otherwise, it's not prayers in the real sense, because what's the benefit of a prayers if you did in a way when how Allah is not ready to accept? Then number 8 is the classification of the wajib. Like I already mentioned, there are different types of wajibat, and then we have which type of wajib. Different wajibats are found inside the prayers, different classifications of wajib inside the prayers that we will learn. And at the end we will just give a little touch towards the salat of Arafat. This is very important. The prayers of our great Arafat Arif scholars and mujtahids and awliya, how do they pray, how they have taught us, and what is the greatness, how great is the prayers in their eyes. The beauty to understand things done by our Urafa and Awliya. Urafa is the plural of an Arif. Arif, a person who has ma'rifat, an in-depth recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it depends on the ma'rifat and the depth recognition of the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the Imam of all time. When we say somebody is an arif, it means that he has the ma'rifat of the Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and which is equal in its value to the ma'rifat of Allah. And awliya is the plural of wali, and wali means beloved. So one of the meanings we have. Approximately 14 meanings for the word wali in Arabic, but one of the very commonly used meaning is the beloved. So Salatul Mawliya means the prayers of the beloved people of Allah. How did they pray and how did they promote it? So this is very important.